Hello and welcome to Firestarters, the UK's first podcast for social enterprises and health. And this week's kind of a special podcast that was recorded at an impromptu session at the Shine Unconference, which was just held in London with a bunch of bloggers and podcasters and social entrepreneurs that just happened to be around.
Okay. Oh, hello. I think that's working. I can hear myself. Hi, this is just a very impromptu let's get together and throw a podcast together at Shine, and it's got that wonderful chaos that Shine seems to have. And we'll just go around and introduce ourselves and see where the conversation goes. I'm Dave Dawes from Entrepreneurses, and my blog's at entrepreneurses.blogspot.com. Which way around should we go?
Are we coming this way?
Yeah.
Nick Temple from the School for Social Entrepreneurs, and our blog is our main website, which is sse.org.uk.
Greg Villalobos from Bowles Creative, the youth innovation company. And we have a blog on our site, bowlcreative.co.uk, but I've got quite some opinions on it.
Cool.
I'm Rob Greenland. I am from The Social Business, and I blog at thesocialbusiness.co.uk about all things to do with social enterprise and social entrepreneurs.
I'm Rachel Slade. I'm from Unlimited. I don't have a blog, but we are. I'm kind of here just to be interested and see what everyone has to say. But we have a blog on unlimitedworld.com that we use a little.
I'm Dara Doyle. I came over from Dublin to the Shine Conference, not knowing what a social entrepreneur actually was, and I've learned now. I blog on daradoyle.com.
My name's Ben Matthews. I'm a tech PR executive working for Hotwire. I blog at puddingrelations.blogspot.com.
Hi, yeah, do you want to
Hi, I'm Maureen Bowes. I'm one of the presenters at Shine, and I blog on two blogs, weinspireothers.com and peopleintelligence.com.
Cool, and just to let people know, basically what I'm going to do is put this up on our site, but it's all Creative Commons, so if people want to chop and change it, use it for their own purposes, give us a bell and I'll say okay.
We'll cut you out.
Yeah. Edit that bit, yeah. So I'm not really sharing, but you were kind of saying you're sceptical about...
Yeah, I mean, I understand their importance, but I think... my immediate response is I don't have time to read, you know, a lot of blogs out there. What I do, I'm just so busy doing what I've got to do. And I just think they're a little, or can be a little self-indulgent. I mean, it's a great outlet, I think, if you that way inclined and you want to write stuff. I mean, I design stuff some people write, so I suppose that's, you know, their outlet. But I'm yet to be massively convinced of, for me anyway, the true, you know, potential of it. You know, will a blog get me more business? Will a blog help me? I mean, the way that we work is kind of networking, like events like this, kind of meeting people in contact rather than online, but I guess that's just the kind of business that I'm in. But yeah,
had you met anyone here through their blog? Because I'm conscious, I think I met Nick.
Yeah,
I
was
through commenting on
it. It's an interesting point. So I didn't meet Dave and Rob until yesterday, but I did know them through their blogs. So we probably would be doing this. But I guess from our point of view, I mean, I started the SSE blog about 3 months after I joined. Didn't really tell my boss. Or at least he didn't really understand what was going on. And I'm not sure I did either. I think you're right, and to some extent, that there is a kind of personal unloading of information, a sort of brain dumping, getting stuff out, so your brain's worked there, actually. And if you like writing, then it's suitable as well. But gradually, over time, and I think there is something about it lasting a long time, which we'll probably come to, it has started to bring in new business and build different contacts with different people and attract, like, interest from different audiences, I guess, that they wouldn't normally have found us through our sort of slightly tedious corporate main website. So it's an interesting one, but it has taken time. It has been a slow burn, I think. And the audience has built, so I do track the stats, so I know people are reading it, I promise.
Actually, just quickly, Nick, because Nick snipped in, so do you want to introduce yourself, Nick? Give a plug for Unlimited World.
Sure. Hi, I'm Nicola. I'm the Community Engagement Coordinator for Unlimited World, Communications Assistant at Unlimited. I'm everyone's first friend on Unlimited World, which is an online platform for socially minded people, people that care about the world and want to change it in some way, want to meet new people and find new partnerships to solve all stakeholder problems in innovative ways, hopefully.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut across.
No, that's okay. I don't want to hog the mic. But the biggest thing I was, in your organisation, are you solely responsible for the blog? I mean, I get the impression you need someone dedicated just to that role to be able to keep it fresh, keep it live, and the rest of it.
Yeah, and I mean, originally I intended, and I set up the account so it was authored by SSE, because I intended other people in the organisation who would love to do it and get involved. And of course, no, it's just been me. The sole exception of one of our interns who got quite into it for a bit. And then I think you're right, it does require a level of commitment. And one of the things I say in my blogging session later on is that you need to have continuity and you need to have a kind of ongoing commitment, because otherwise people don't read it and don't come back to it. But if they know there's going to be something there and one out of three times it might be of interest or relevance, then they do start to build and they do link to it and so on, and it starts to build. And yeah, I mean, even in terms of kind of the one connection it can bring you, it can make a difference. So, but there is the kind of selfish side, which I quite enjoy doing it as well. So it kind of works both ways.
It definitely depends what you want to do it for. I mean, if you're a design agency, I know design agencies do blog, but rather than blog about what they're doing and their clients, what they blog about is things they find interesting, their ideas about certain things. So what that does, you know, there's so much stuff going out there anyway, it just brings it into one place. If people come to your blog, like your ideas, then I'll get in touch with you and say, yeah, can you do that for me?
Exactly.
And it's an online social network as well. I mean, you know, that's a buzzword at the moment, but you guys met online,
yeah.
But now you're meeting offline. And I think it's very much about, yes, it brings you in business and you make connections, but you're right, it's also about meeting them in the real world as well, you know? But it's just another way of backing yourself up, backing your business up.
I think there's very different blogs. Like, I think you're kind of talking about the way that people, some people will go online and be like, this is what I did today and I went to the park and it was really fun. And that I kind of don't really understand why people do that and write about their lives in that way, because it's like writing a diary but letting everybody read it. But I do see the benefit of writing it, because it's like an article that you read in the newspaper, for example, but it's online and it's easier and it's more accessible. And people can comment and feedback faster and quicker. And I can see that the benefit for that when it's about something, about an issue or promoting an organisation or bringing in awareness, and I can see that. But I don't understand why people just...
Do many people get commented on this, Matt? Because I probably get the odd comment every third blog. And
not a lot.
I mean,
Rob and I comment on it.
Yeah, I get loads of comments, because actually you two. But I mean, I get more comments than I kind of expected to, and it has, I think, as you say, it's kind of taken time to get the comments. But I suppose I don't write in a very kind of self-conscious style, but I write in a style where there'll often be something at the end of it, which is a question or a kind of point that I do think then people might actually just in that moment think,
you had one post that kind of prompted a whole debate with about 30 different people,
definitely. And I think that for me, that's where it's been most useful, in that there are, I think for a lot of us, that there are times in our work when in our local networks I certainly find myself kind of standing out and saying something different. And the blog is a chance for me to kind of get that out there. And then suddenly, so other people do say, hang on a minute, I think that as well. And I might be over the other side of the country or, you know, even in the States or whatever, but you're building up a kind of network of fellow kind of travellers, I suppose, which, you know, you don't always have just, you know, in your local network. And that does, I mean, the comments are some of the, I think it's some of the best stuff you get on it, really.
For me, it does two things. It's, I kind of feel it's like a resource that I'm giving to my clients. So if I find something interesting, I want to share it. So it's like a quick way, if people can rely on that, those links or whatever appearing, then it's valuable and it saves them time. But also, I think it adds another dimension of almost being like a CV almost, because it kind of shows more about who you are. So in reading blogs, I think, I like this company, or that says what I want someone to be saying. So I think it, you know, resource and gives another dimension to who you are, plus keeps your website alive.
That's how I got my job, actually, my latest job, which I start on Wednesday.
Right.
It's for online.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I know. So blogging's good for one thing. You know. It was a time commitment, and I only started blogging since January. This is my current blog at the moment, but within 4 months, you know, it's got me a job. I've met those people through it. And it's been really, really useful, and I don't think I'd be in a position I was today if I didn't have a blog.
Oh, yeah, I just remember we got a piece of work through. So we're also coordinating now the blogs for the Social Enterprise Ambassadors government-sponsored programme, because apparently we know more about it. It's not strictly true, especially around this table. But yeah, so again, yeah, it has started well. I think you're spot on about being able to communicate sort of who you are, and particularly why I think what we were failing to do was kind of communicate a bit of the personality of SSE, which, you know, is normally quite a bit about humour and energy and a bit of, you know, which marks us out. And I think the blog has helped us do that and get people to know the organisation better. And we also do, like you use it as an information tool to provide to our students who we're working with. So we sign them all up now as soon as they join. Not always with that permission, but yeah. They enjoy it. They enjoy it.
They can opt out, but
it's their choice whether to subscribe.
If you put this on the SSE blog, you're going to get in trouble.
No.
Is that the question?
They all know. I mean, they can. We sign them up by feed blitz or email or whatever, and then they can choose whether to click and activate or not.
Well, yes, a similar.
Sorry, I was really pointing.
The blogging, the blogging community in Ireland would probably not be as big as in the UK, just by sheer dint of population. But there is a very active and I'm going to use the word loving blogging community in Ireland. You know, one guy, there's a guy called Damien Mulley who just set up the Irish Blog Awards and promotes everybody's blog and is a real ambassador for other people's blogs. And really, I was at the Irish Blog Awards in March, and the experience was brilliant because you're going around to people going, oh my God, I read your blog. And they're going, really? You really do? Are you the one who left that comment? Oh, that was a lovely comment. Thank you. Really made me feel good all day. But in a UK context, and certainly in a brand context, Innocent Smoothies make smoothies. That's what they do, right? But their blog is actually the best and most visited part of their website because they update it regularly. There are three main contributors. And it's everything. It's not just, oh, we make smoothies and we're great. But they're talking about sustainable development out in Rwanda, or Uganda, where they've got projects, or they're talking about the new labels, or they're talking about a funny YouTube video that they've seen. I mean, I was introduced to the Free Hugs campaign. I don't know if you've seen the video, through the Innocent blog.
Yeah.
And it's about communicating and sharing. And if you get involved and you're commenting on people's blogs, it's almost like you're in a conversation like now. And you're kind of going, that's really cool. And yes, there is the element of, oh, my cat is sick. And he's destroyed the couch, and oh my God. But yet somebody could come in and go, oh, I'm really sorry to hear that, but have you tried this medicine, or have you tried giving them this, or to whatever?
Have you tried a dog?
Absolutely.
And it's people. Really
yeah. What are you feeding it? And it's sharing those ideas and getting passionate. And like, what I try not to go down the self-indulgent route too often. I do blog long posts, though. But I try and share things that I've found interesting and inspiring. And people react. People comment. People go, actually, that's a nice way of putting it. Thanks. You know, and people appreciate it. It's a lovely way of communicating, really.
One other thing that I do, which I don't think is common, I've set up something that I call weblog coaching. And for just those, if I'm coaching individuals and I develop a kind of private blog with them, so there's a password and everything, that they can really, you know, just dump and express their feelings at any time and know that confidentially they'll get a response that's developmental.
So it's like you could have an email exchange, say, but this is one place to pull it and you can see the conversation.
You can watch it, you can watch the person's development through it, and it's completely confidential.
And you could do a group of that,
I've done a whole team with it.
From talking to a lot of the people here today, they're like, what's the blob? And why would we have one? How do we get a blob? I want a blob. Give me a blob. But whatever. But I think a lot of people are scared by it because they see all these journalists and TV people and visit the Channel 4 blog and the Guardian blog and everything like that. But actually, it's as easy. If you can write an email, you can write a blog. If you can write a Word document, you can write a blog. Go to www.blogger.com. It's very easy to set up. Or typepad.com or wordpress.com or wordpress.org. You don't need to be a technical genius. Just get out there and share your ideas, share your passion, share the stories about your cat. It's whatever you want to talk about.
But maybe it is worth remembering that for some people blogs aren't right. If you haven't got the time commitment, if you're not sure what purpose it will give you, there's a whole number of reasons why you shouldn't.
Yeah.
So it's better to not start a blog in the first place rather than start a blog and then go after a week.
I think it's key what you said earlier, which is like there has to be a particularly in this field, like if we're advising social entrepreneurs about whether they should blog or not, there has to be a reason and it has to work for them, particularly those who have got a sort of strong online element to what they're doing or need kind of viral marketing to kick in or want to make more connections in a different way, or even just want a really simple web presence up quite quickly. It's much more free, basically, so in terms of getting a kind of simple dynamic web presence. There has to be a good reason for it, and they do have to have the capacity and the commitment to do it, because otherwise it won't work, and that's not always easy when they're doing everything else, from cash flow and budgeting to setting up the company.
So what do you hardcore bloggers think about twittering? Because I went to this conference.
I've been trying to avoid it because I just think that looks like the crack cocaine of the online world.
I love it.
So
I want
to sign me up.
If you didn't have time to read blogs, let's get you signed up.
Well, this is when I went to this conference, this internet thing last summer, and they were all there going on about twittering and how fantastic it was and how nobody's going to blog anymore because it's too time consuming and everyone's going to write these short one word thing.
Sorry, Twitter is it's kind of like you can put up
it's
250 characters. It's
140.
It's kind of like I'm text sat message. Here in a group doing a podcast with Dave. Boom, goes up on the
tagline is what
you.
Are you doing?
Yeah.
So it's basically
micro
blogging
status but sharing it with everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been dabbling. Oh, sorry.
Twitter scares me.
Yeah.
It scares me. I was so resistant to joining it and I've heard so much about it from hardcore Twitterers and I'm going to go on twitter.com if I'm going to die, and I was like resisting it until I kind of thought I went along to the Collaborate 08 event and it was like, oh, we're all twittering and we're talking from other sides of the room about something, so I thought, well, maybe I'm missing out on some ideas, so I'll join. And it's great at events. It's been really cool watching the Shine one go on, and I want to, when we go to Glastonbury, I think it'd be really cool to be like twittering at that. But it scares me when people are saying, I just had my breakfast, going for a walk. I'm like, do we need to know? I don't really care.
Well, I've been dabbling with I've discovered mobile blogging 3 days ago, that I can like blog from my phone. And so when I've been here, I've been doing them. And I was looking at them last night and I was thinking, there is that element of, I've actually missed lunch and I'm sat in a seminar. I don't really know what it's about, but I went here and they went here and they're saying something interesting. And the person next to me is looking at me going, why am I typing on my BlackBerry? And it has a very different feel, and I'm not sure, because it gets into that stream of consciousness that, have I thought about it? Is there something here, or is it just life?
Is that not the next generation? I mean, is that not for the next 15-year-olds who are using their phones in a way that we really don't? And I guess really short, sharp messages with all the abbreviations and all the rest of it. It seems very kind of waiting for them to find the way to use it.
And that's why Twitter is really, I think, because it's much easier to text a short message rather than text a blog post, effectively. And that's why I think it has taken off. I mean, I haven't used it at all, so I set up a Twitter account for Shine 2008. And then people started saying bizarre things like, if you set up the hashtags account, you can pull the RSS over to a blog on the site and all this kind of stuff. And you can sort of go, it can take up all of your time if you want to go there, really. And this is about what's useful. And for me, the best thing, I have to say, Nicola refers to the kind of shine.socialreporter.net site that we've had lots of stuff on, but the video I've been really amazed with. So David Wilcox has been going home with his little Nokia phone taking video clips of about 3 minutes and just instantly posting them up.
Yeah,
which is a bit frightening for those of us who've been interviewed.
Yes, seriously.
As the three days goes on, you're just this haggard, hungover.
Particularly when I was interviewed in the bar last night. But that's been really interesting and kind of really captures the atmosphere of the event much better than a lot of
official
reporting.
I think the mobile element becomes a lot more appealing to me when you kind of sit down and repeat it. And I think the drive nowadays that I was at the Genius conference in Thailand, and they're saying basically the next step of development in the third world is going to be mobile phones. Give everyone mobile phones, they can do their banking on the phone, all the rest. And if you can have people in some really desperate parts of the world having access to mobiles and being able to let other people know what they're doing. Oh, I just, a Twitter thing. Oh, I just managed to get some water from the well today. stuff like that. maybe
five more miles to the well.
But it really brings it home in a way that you don't have to send your BBC correspondent out there and sit down in front of the news to watch it. So I guess in that aspect,
closing
that gap. I think that Twitter is a bit more fun when there's more people contributing to it. I mean, I don't follow that many people, but it really is the usual suspects constantly twittering, which that is the part that I don't really like. I think it's when there's more and more people from outside. You know, it's like any forum. When there's more people involved, it's more fun.
Yeah.
But the other thing about Twitter, which is quite unlike, which echoes something that Nicola said to me about unlimitedworld.com, is the thing I think your line was, and I'm sorry for paraphrasing, that it's the kitchen table entrepreneurs and the CEOs are all equal and can all get in touch with each other and whatever. Twitter allows you access to these amazing minds, and you can send them a message and go, what do you think of this? And would you mind having a look at this? Or you can actually just see what they're recommending that day, or see very cool links or interesting links that maybe you don't have the time to go to their blog and read about. But it's just a simple matter of clicking and there it is. Okay, and that's interesting. I find now...
And the presidential candidates are using it.
Obama and Hillary, absolutely.
That's a different channel. I mean, that's one way of conversation. They're just telling people what they're doing.
Yeah.
What's interesting is, again, what you were saying there about the community getting involved. I'm on Twitter quite a lot and I really like it. You can put a question out there. Something you're not sure about, or something you kind of want to test out. You say, you put a question out there and then you'll get... maybe five people, coming back to you saying, try this, have a look at this website, have you thought about doing it that way? If they don't know the answer, they'll say, speak to this guy, he's on Twitter, send him an email, he'll help you out. I mean, it's just another great resource. And I think Nicola was right when she said it's better when more people are involved.
Yeah. And I was amazed that there is a real sense of community. Like, we've pulled all the stuff together for this event. Like, literally, I'm going to send an email around about a week before, in keeping with the rest of the event, and with kind of Doug Wilcox and Paul, and we're all there, and then we met Ben and Dara like at the cafe outside on the first day, and then hooked up with Dave and Rob, and they stumbled late into my session.
I'm not gonna let it go,
you'll edit it out, I'm sure. But that's been really interesting to, and it was kind of like instantly, no problem, just tag it like that. And it creates that kind of interesting dialogue, which has been great.
But that's what intrigued me, actually, when you said earlier that you didn't have many comments on your blogs. And that was, to me, the whole point of it. And that was the positive thing, that the people would leave comments and discuss things. And so I was surprised when you said that you didn't get many comments.
You see, I get comments face-to-face often. Yeah. I did some blogs, and when I did this new website, I was deliberately... just a lot more me and a lot less corporate than I've been before.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember doing one blog about how much I hate Business Link and how I would rather have a rusty spike shoved up my ass than ever go to a Business Link advisor. And the number of people who I bumped into have gone, I'd rather have a shoved thing shoved up my ass. And I'm like, okay, more people read that than I probably knew. Maybe I should have rewritten it.
But they did, it's interesting. Like, more people actually, particularly when it was kind of generic SSE, people go up to Alistair, our chief exec, and go, really interesting post last week. And he'd be like, and you do get, I get more face-to-face, more people contacting by email, strangely, quite often as well.
Mm.
And then you start to find out, you hear from people that they're reading it, or to say they read it, so Liam Black reads the blog, he catches up with us at the weekend before he goes to walk the dog. And the Office of the Third Sector read it within their kind of organisation, and occasionally apparently send stuff around if it's particularly interesting. It's not always helpful, though. I think it's better to not know who's reading it, because then they try to feed me some press release about local advanced speech and stuff.
Sorry, do you think it would ever influence how you wrote if you knew?
That's the difficulty, So I because recently there was a well-known government department, which pulled a stream of funding at the last minute after 6 months of work and affected lots of organisations, and having put that funding bit together, I was, rightly livid, I would say.
No, I wasn't going to say it, but what was interesting is I picked that up off your RSS feed about a day before I got an email from someone. Okay. And it was really interesting because there was something about someone posts it and you kind of instantly get this stuff and you get a heads up that you're kind of not expecting. And I was like, no, I won't say that.
But all I would say is I wasn't, what I said in the office, which I can't repeat on this podcast, it didn't necessarily work. Wasn't exactly the same as what I wrote. I was a bit more diplomatic. So that's why I say it's probably not that helpful actually to know, because you're probably a bit unfettered. But you are, I think it's difficult also when you're writing more personally and how much you're writing for the organisation. And that's the kind of one of the challenges we were talking about yesterday, and that balance between sticking to what your organisation's about and your own personal opinions kind of coming in.
Can I pick up on the point about that early warning kind of thing? Like you read it from his blog before you got an email from someone else. Twitter is even earlier than that, because it's 140 characters. Of course, you can do it mobile, you can blog, of course, but because Twitter's so short, you often hear about stuff and stuff going on way before blogs pick up, and then way before newspapers and TV pick up.
Well, there's a Mac conference I was trying to follow, and I think we're supposed to do a live video stream, but they didn't. And there was a page that had basically the live Twitter, and it was almost a transcript. He's saying this, here it is, here's a photograph. And I'm like following this conference in real time.
Yeah.
And then the video came out 2 days later. I was like, this is strange.
Why pay for the ticket to go to the conference? Why am I here at Shine? Right, I'm off. 2 hours.
But the other thing about comments on your blog and whatever is, well, there's two things. Sometimes people will read a comment post you've written and have nothing to say, because you've said it really well. And they're afraid of saying, oh, that was really cool.
I'm
going
to say that about the one you wrote about me yesterday. Spot on, glowing.
Well, yeah, because again, it's about feeling you're valued in the conversation or you have something valuable to contribute. But if you want people to comment on your blog or you want bloggers to comment on your blog, go and comment on theirs.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you'll build up that network and that connection and that community spirit and whatever.
To go back to Greg's original point about how do you, because I share a little bit of the kind of information overload stuff, so you know, have my blog reader, and there's increasing numbers of blogs that are quite relevant in this world that I want to track. How do you guys kind of cope with, or all of you cope with, the kind of, I don't know, filtering and kind of processing it all?
I'm probably going to have to hack back a bit, because I realised the other day I'm out to about 35 things I'm tracking on RSS, and some people are posting 5 or 6 times a day.
See, that to me, Doug, just sounds like nothing. 35 is like...
Yeah, 35
is nothing. I was like, that's fine. Really? Well, if I could get down to that, that'd be all right.
Yeah, but you see, podcasts, I follow 17 podcasts, and it's basically dog walking. And podcasting is how I keep on top of technology. So I don't really subscribe to tech blogs, but I do podcasts, because I think I can't do anything else at the moment, but I can listen. But go ahead, how many do you subscribe to?
More than that. I have a kind of daily, weekly, monthly.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
It's a bit of a terrifying window.
I don't have a problem.
I have to say, I'm going to be the complete sort of killjoy. I don't subscribe to any. But then we have Alberto to tell us about every single blog in the world anyway, so we don't need to. But I've never followed them until, like, I guess, a few months ago. I started reading a few, but I don't know about tracking them.
But is that, like you were just saying, that how you'd get somebody else to respond to your blog is to write on their blog. Mm-hmm. So that's almost just bloggers writing on other bloggers' walls instead of just other people them commenting on your blog. It's like just bloggers commenting on each other's walls rather than just...
Oh, no, there are non-bloggers and whatever, but again, it's about the confidence and how they feel. But let's go back to a social entrepreneur, right? Somebody who wants to set up, I don't know, like I was speaking to two lovely ladies earlier about setting up a school to teach parents and teachers how to teach. But anyway, if they on their blog start blogging about, this is what I'm doing, and these are the problems that we're facing, and I'm looking for funding, and I found this really cool guy called Ben who's going to advise us on our blogs, and this is his contact details, and we found a building and whatever, people connect, and people go, That's me. And the amount of conversations that happen around, that are happening in the Shine Conference going, oh my God, yeah, I'm in exactly the same thing. And yes, I do need a logo designed, or I do need funding, or I do need this, or I am a social entrepreneur and I didn't know it. You know, and it's that kind of thing. Or what, you're interested in my idea, you think it's good? And it's that. And the story of your brand or of your project or whatever is very, very valuable. because people are interested and people will buy into it and people like stories. They may not comment on them all the time, but what your thing is, go out and talk about it. I read something interesting today. It really made me think.
And I think particularly, I think Rob was saying, sometimes you say something which is really, zeitgeist the word, but some the most downloaded podcast I've done is one on community interest companies, and it started with a guy called Adrian Ashton, who wrote a load about it, and we were just having this conversation. I was like, oh, let me get out and take a call. This will be a fun podcast. And suddenly it was like, no one else was saying there are big problems with community interest companies. And I don't know why, but suddenly there were a lot of people going, oh, I didn't know that, and I didn't know that. And it was like, you think that post or that blog, suddenly there's a lot of interest on that one.
Also, yeah, it's a great class because it cuts through a lot of the jargon and the bollocks around the subject. That's a technical term. And now, so like I was speaking to someone the other day, saying, I'm thinking of starting a kit, and I was like, well, you might want to listen to this if you get the time. Mm-hmm. And that's, it's probably a more useful way of them weaving their way through that subject than it would be to kind of look at the efficient site, you know, to get the real truth about why they should choose it or why they shouldn't, or the limitations and the problems and the opportunities, you know. But I'm going to have to go. I have to, deliver a how and why to the whole session, which seems strangely appropriate.
Cheers.
Isn't Unlimited World basically kind of a platform where people can talk about these issues? Rather than talking about it on each other's blogs, it's just another way of, you know, just bringing it all together. So rather than commenting on each other's blogs, you comment on this one place, and everyone else can read it, and everyone else can find it, and everyone else knows where to go to get advice, information, and stuff.
Yeah, that's the idea of it. And actually, when we started Unlimited World, me and Alberto had a long conversation about whether or not we should have a blog on there or not, and whether or not we should allow people to blog. And he decided that we wouldn't, because he kind of agreed with the new thing that people are going to stop blogging and people don't have time to blog as much, and that there'll be more. We've got like a Q&A forum where people discuss things, and we've got kind of short shouts that people make. That people
Do you think the shouts
things.
Are a bit, for people that don't know, that to me they're almost like Twitter. The shouts
are
really interesting. Mm. But sometimes I dig into stuff, but the shout will go, oh, I didn't know that was on, this was going on.
Yes.
What are the shouts? Do you mind explaining? Because I don't know what they are.
It's just a short, it's like 200 characters max, of just like, check out this event, link here,
okay.
Or we're at Shine now, come down, or, you know, just very short. It is very much like Twitter, but it's just when you go onto your homepage, all the shouts of your friends are kind of down the side of the page so you can see what's going on. And that was the kind of compromise instead. His feeling was that that would be more useful and people would engage with that more than writing blogs. But then still we get a lot of people saying that they want to write blogs still, and a lot of our users saying that they want to have blogs. But then the thing is that what we say to them is that you can still put your link to your blog on Unlimited World and people can have that discussion and you can link through to that. But I don't know if it's, you know, if that's the right decision or not.
I think it was as well, Unlimited World is really, it's a lot about conversation. It's a lot about very two-way, three-way, four-way conversations, not so much about one person telling all in that kind of way. You have your profile to tell everyone everything, like all about yourself, but they're definitely designed to stimulate conversation and connections between people that wouldn't have met before, which I think the shorter, kind of sharper way to do that, maybe it's a bit more of a concise way to really generate those connections rather than sort of reading long blog posts about it. I don't know.
Do you think there's like an ecology involved? Because there's some people like blogs, some people like discussion forums, some people like Twitter, some people like podcasts, and it's kind of like, I don't know if people are gravitating, and I'm much better podcaster than a blogger, because as much as I just chat record, up it goes, whereas I'm to think and spell, and, you know, and some people love discussion forums, and I've been on one where it's like, we had a face-to-face meeting after a year and a half, and it was like meeting an old friend, but we didn't know what each other looked like, and people were saying it was really strange, you know.
It has been strange, I have to say, meeting all the people that met me through Unlimited World as their friend. And everyone's been coming up to me over the spent like, Nicola! I'm like, oh God, I can't remember who they are. Really sorry, there's so many people. But
yeah, I wish more people put pictures.
Yeah.
When they put some weird symbol, you think, I don't know what you look like.
Yeah, well, the logo. Like, sorry, I don't know who you are.
I met a guy earlier called Archie. He's got, apparently, he's from Africa, or he's got African descendants, and he apparently his profile picture is him in African dress, so
yeah,
you're gonna know who he is. If you met him in real life, and you know who he is as well. So yeah,
it's fun that you can play with it like that. It kind of doesn't help so much in real life meeting, but it is fun. But no, I think it's all personal preference, isn't it? It's all communication at the end of the day. Some people get attached to one method and others to another.
And I think the value of it is that whichever one you choose, they're all quite easy and cheap, aren't they? I think that's the, we shouldn't get too hung up on thinking, oh, well, this is going to be the next big thing, or that's it. It's just, for me, blogging works, podcasting I've tried, and it didn't, you know, and that's that. Well, maybe we can do something together where I do the blogging and you do the podcasting, isn't it? So it's a...
And I did a Twitter.
He does the web mic collaboration.
Yeah. That's what it's all about. It's a big... all adds to your brand, all adds to what you do, to your personal brand. And it's all just things connected. If something works and it's great, you pursue it. If it doesn't work, and, you know, you just move on and try something else. But it all adds to what you're communicating, it all adds to your ideas, it all adds to your development, and not just your development, but the people you interact with and the network that you've got.
The other thing I like is if you compare it to like books and you think of the cycle of, you know, if you take 8 to 2 months to a publishing deal, you write it, there's something very immediate about the web as kind of like, like half of what's happened here is on the web, and if you're not here, you can pick up all that information. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of turns the half-life's the right word, but kind of you have an idea and it's out there, mm-hmm. and then people are commenting and building on the idea. And there's some really interesting blogs where you're kind of kicking around an idea, and you can sort of see it, you can see books taking shape in mm-hmm. front of you, and you think that's quite.
The session that I did yesterday was about communication styles, and actually, you can observe and learn an awful lot about people through their preferred medium. You're obviously more a listener,
yeah.
And if, others are more, you know, words, and that it drives me mad when there's no photograph of someone because I'm really visual. So actually, you learn an awful lot more about a person through just those little cameos than we might think, and it's all kind of going in there.
Well, that feels like it's kind of come to a natural end. Oh, well, cheers, everyone. And I will bung it up and try and email people. So if you want to reuse it, feel free. It's, cheers.
Thank you
very much.
Awesome, guys. This is cool.
Well, thanks to everyone who contributed, and thanks to all the Shine team, and it really was an amazing 3 days. That was the only time we actually managed to get an impromptu podcast together. I'm going to put the contact details of everyone and their blog on the website at entrepreneurses.net. That's E-N-T-R-E-P-R-E, nurses.net. And thanks for listening. And you can subscribe to the pod through the RSS feed, and all the details are on the website. And last but not least, the music is Fire Dance by DJ Booley under a Creative Commons license.